makes it a two-point game.
There's your mismatch right here.
Now it's Luka. Deep three over four. Luka magic.
Hello, happy holidays. Welcome to 77 Minutes in Heaven. This is Tim Cato, your host. We've got David Dufour. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm good, man.
Trying to give you some formality on a lead up to a holiday.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. How's everything?
You know, a little low on sleep. A 9:30 start will we'll do that to you, Central Time.
But yeah. Anything weird, anything interesting happen? In the last couple days, or
there's some sports going on, you know.
There are sports.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump right in because this game, you know, it was interesting. I thought for Phoenix, less interesting for Dallas. You know, I don't know how much you can take away if you're the Mavericks. I think the Suns, you could see a lot.
Yeah. And if we were a Suns, like, I'd love to be a Suns podcast right now because I feel like I could actually say some things.
Yeah, so much stuff to talk about with the Suns. But with the Mavericks, I don't feel like, and you're not going to get this from one game, in particular the first game of the season. I feel like I've got more questions than I did a week ago.
Yeah, my whole takeaway was that it's, you know, it's what you're supposed to do is find some storyline, find some through line from a season opener and say, oh, this is going to be the theme of the season. And it really just looked like the team that we last saw, you know, in the bubble, at their worst points in the bubble. It kind of looked like that team, you know, when Luka was just, you know, struggling and looked worn down and beat up. It certainly looked like a team that is still working through late game offense stuff. I thought they were a little bit better, but clearly that late game offense didn't come alive and save them.
Let's talk about Luka first because obviously that's the most important thing for the Mavs. I did not think he looked good physically. He looked a little slow. I thought his feet looked really heavy. He looks a little heavy, which, you know, has been a thing during the preseason.
So Mark Cuban said that he just didn't have his, you know, streamlined back to fitness plan because
of
the way the season came back.
Yeah,
and I think that he seems like one of those players who, you know, needs a very dedicated workout routine to be where he needs to be. And so, yeah, no, absolutely. I thought he looked a little bit off the pace, a little bit sluggish and frustrated and mentally, you know, was upset. But I would imagine that just not quite being there physically is directly stems to him yelling at a ref. Because he's also tired and doesn't want to run back up a court. Like, you know, those two things go together. Like, as much as you would want to see a better mentality from Luka, and many people have talked about how much he complains to the referees, you know, those things absolutely are connected and correlate in some way. So, yeah, and you know, he still is going to be a good player and even better than he was tonight or last night. And he still did, you know, 32, 8, and 5.
Well, that's
despite
the thing,
playing
right?
bad. Right.
Is that he's gotten to that almost, not quite, obviously, he's not on LeBron James' level, but he has the ability to do what LeBron can do. He can have a game where he throws up 32, 8, and 5, and you can say, yeah, I felt like he wasn't his best. And that says quite a bit about our expectations of Luka, especially for this season.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's going to be the Luka thing. Like, he's not going to have his season, his career debut was 2 years ago in Phoenix, and he was pretty bad by his standards. Same situation where you saw good signs, but also he struggled for a while. But in that debut, he had 10 points on like 10 shots, and he's not doing that anymore. Those things are not happening anymore. He's not, you know, there's no 10 point Luka games. If you know, I don't think you're going to get more than one 10-point Luka game in a season the rest of his career, like one, maybe one per season. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the point he's reached where he will be this, you know, he will be potentially the best player on the court even when he's playing much worse than he should be.
Oh, and if he only scores 10 points in a game, it's a blowout in one direction or the other. Either they got blown out early or they blew someone out because, I mean, he is the, you know, obviously the engine of the offense. I think that the good takeaways from the game, I thought he was under control. One turnover, that's amazing, especially with the way Phoenix was guarding last night. I thought that that was incredible. 10 of 12 from the free throw line. That's huge.
It's a good sign.
Especially in game one. You know, like, that's a good tone to set for the rest of the season. The free throw stuff really has been a bigger sticking point for me than the three-point stuff. The three-point stuff, he takes so many late shot clock, you know, tightly contested step-back threes. You expect the percentages to take a hit. It's the same thing James Harden deals with. The free throws, though, he can completely control that. And I think that for him to reach the level that we expect this season, you know, he needs to be like 75 to 80% from the line. So getting there is great. He's already good at that, but he's got to be able to convert them. And, you know, to get 10 free points, that's a pretty big deal.
That's a big part of the reason why, you know, he's always going to be scoring double digits and well over double digits, because, you know, he's just going to generate free buckets. You know, he's mm-hmm. he's the top four free throw shooter in terms of drawing fouls and converting points at the line. He's got to be top four in the league, you know, along with Harden
up there.
And Jimmy Butler and who else. So,
I mean, so yeah, Giannis, that's yeah.
Giannis. Yeah, there you go. So they're top four. I thought Josh Richardson was the second best Maverick.
I agree.
He wasn't amazing or spectacular, but I do think it matters that there's another, you know, highly competent perimeter defender on the floor mm-hmm. for 36 minutes, just like Finney Smith, who, you know, actually being able to, you know, put two defenders out there for 36 minutes instead of one. That makes a difference. I do think it matters. And in some ways, the defense, it didn't stand out as being different. It just functionally was different. And mm-hmm. you just saw less people getting right to the rim. But then I asked, you know, a friend I was watching it with, and he was like, oh, no, they look way different. They look so much better. You know, they're just, you know, the way that they're stopping people driving is this much better. And so, you know, whatever the case is, certainly I thought the results were good. And you know, this is a game where when they started so slowly offensively in the first half,
right?
They had 45 in the first half. It's a game I could see them already being, you know, down 60-45 last season. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not putting that all on Richardson. And certainly, you know, they didn't have Porzingis out there. And the starting lineup is nowhere near where their defensive peak is going to be when it has, you know, the three wings, Luka and Kristaps all together. You know, because that's an actual defensive shot blocker. You know, it really... you know, a tone changing defensive player in Porzingis that they're still missing. But once they get that, you know, even until that, I thought that was a decent sign that, you know, they're doing a solid job slowing down Phoenix, who might be a more off, you know, defensive team than offensive team as I kind of look at their lineup more and more.
I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far.
They split it well.
This is like, more balanced. For sure.
Yeah.
Richardson just makes such a big difference. And you know, the defensive side of the ball, it's very obvious the difference that he makes. Offensively, though, I really liked when he was attacking the basket off the mm-hmm. catch. You know, he was 2 of 7 from three. That's great. That's good volume for him. He should be in that 7 to 8 three-point attempt range per game. But what I really liked, I mean, he can put the ball on the floor and he can make plays for other people. And I know Rick Carlisle loves that. Like, his favorite thing is a player that goes out and makes plays instead of just run plays. And I think Richardson works really, really well with Luka on that front, because Luka is that guy. Like, Luka is going out and making plays. And now you've got a second person that can do that. I thought that the results on the offensive end for Richardson were really promising. And I think as soon as they kind of click and they get Porzingis back, you could see where this offense could even be better than last year.
Yeah, you just need Richardson to do that more. And you're not mm-hmm. saying that, oh, you didn't do it enough in the season opener. Like, clearly he has a leash. This is game four of the preseason. You could call it that. I don't think they started practicing as a team until two Fridays ago. So we're still not even 3 weeks into this team being fully together and practicing together, if my math is correct on that. So yeah, all I care about for Richardson is just seeing those moments, like the ones you describe, where you say, oh, that looks like something you can duplicate more than just in this instant. It didn't look like, you know, like a Dorian Finney-Smith you know, driving Eurostep, where you're like, that was fun, but we're not going to see it again the rest of the season. It looks sustainable. It just there wasn't enough of it. And seeing if how much Richardson can build on that, be put into good spots where he can, you know, get to the rim, where he can make passes. I didn't see a lot of passing from him. I'd have to go back and look. Certainly, I think that's something that you're hoping he can do more is do some playmaking for teammates around him. But part of that is just getting him moving towards the rim more often. Like we just said, he wasn't doing that enough. So, you know, on the flip side, you know, he's not going to have enough chances to, you know, actually make that driving kick pass and actually find that teammate in the corner in situations like that. So,
well, in particular, once they have their team and you add that other ridiculous weapon, like Porzingis is going to open up these lanes. I think the Mavericks are going to be really, really good when Porzingis is back, as long as he's healthy. But mm-hmm. that the game, it featured some of the struggles that I thought that they would have without him, plain and simple. And I don't think anyone should be surprised. Matter of fact, to be that close in a game where I thought Phoenix really controlled it is probably a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, there was nobody.
They went 9 of 37 from 3, right? Like, they're just not going to have many nights where they shoot the ball that poorly. And this goes back to your point about the defense. The defense kept them in it.
They have enough players at this point. They have enough competent, solid role players that you would expect that most nights you're going to have a insert player name night. You're going to have a Tim Hardaway night. You're going to have a Finney Smith night. You're going to have, you know, one of these players stepping up offensively. Stepping up is even a weird term. Like, literally, it's almost just like random. Like, it's math odds. It's statistics. It's Tim Hardaway Jr. has a, you know, significantly good game every 3 or 4 games. You know, like he could be an average player for a stretch, and then, you know, he'll just have a game where it's all working for him. You know, none of the dice rolls on players who are a little more inconsistent, you know, hit tonight. And that could happen. That could have happened for any number of reasons. Maybe Phoenix just defended them really well. Maybe the team isn't just up to speed. That's probably the correct answer. Maybe they're just unlucky. But, you know, it wasn't a good Hardaway night. Finney Smith didn't do much offensively. Maxi Kleber wasn't hitting threes. You know, I thought he got good looks. He could have hit a couple more. He started something like 2 of 4 and then just couldn't put down any after that. Jalen Brunson came on very late, but even his line is kind of deceiving. His 12.4 assist night, you know, came after 10 minutes of looking, you know, pretty bad in my opinion. And then it just kind of turned around for him. He's an interesting player. Trey Burke was just out there doing stuff, which I think, you know, he's gonna have times where he pops off. But I think there's gonna be a lot of nights where Trey Burke is just out there doing stuff, and you know, you can't rely on him, you know, all the time. So basically, what I'm just describing is a bunch of role players who, you know, none of them are asked to be the second star of this team. That's obviously Kristaps. He's not here right now. While he's out, you're hoping that every night you have at least one role player who can, you know, reasonably provide 20 points on offense. In a lot of nights, most nights, maybe even, you will have that player. It didn't happen tonight. And it's not something that I am personally just terribly worried about. Some of it does stem from Luka. You know, he's the one who puts them in the right spots all the time. And you know, he actually did in this game a lot more than his stats even show. I think he had 15 potential assists, only 5 converted. So I don't know. What are you going to do? I would agree. I mean, this feels like a floor for their performance. I don't see them playing significantly worse than they did Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, look, if they shoot 30% from three and they win this game.
Right.
Not to just completely simplify it, which is for sure what I'm doing, but that's the truth. It's 2 made 3-pointers and they win this game. I think that's a good thing for them, that the defense held them in, because obviously the defense just got away from them so often last year. Was there anybody else that stood out? How'd you feel about Willie Cauley-Stein's 6 minutes? I've noticed that there's a big push that Willie Cauley-Stein needs more minutes, which I completely disagree with. I want to see what you think. I mean, six minutes, and he was fine. But, like, we've seen Willie Cauley-Stein in bigger roles.
And that's largely where I come down on it. I mean, I think that Dwight Powell does look pretty ineffective. I didn't care that he started all 3 preseason games. I think that was a good use of preseason time to try to get a player, mm-hmm. you know, who's proven when healthy, when you know, win 90%, 100%, you know exactly what you're getting from him. That is a player who you would like to be able to rely on this season. And if you thought that three preseason games would get him up to speed, that is a good use of time. I do not care.
Early season is good too.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think he's going to start for the foreseeable future, although he may be playing something like 18 minutes per night, like he did tonight, because he just isn't effective. I thought some of that was Phoenix, that they really collapsed against him. Powell wasn't effective. So I thought it made sense to try Cauley-Stein. Clearly, the Mavs looked good when he was on the court. We know that individual plus minus, like it's still easy, even knowing individual plus minus doesn't matter. Right. It's still easy to look at, you know, his plus 14 and think, well, maybe there was something there.
Well, no, I watched him and I thought that they played well with him on the court, but I don't know that it wasn't because of Willie Cauley-Stein, but he looked fine.
Yeah. And I am rambling to finally build to kind of what you're saying. The dude often just is out there. Like he does good things almost in spite of himself, mm-hmm. which feels kind of mean. I listened to another Mavs pod this morning and Kirk Henderson, of famed Mavs Moneyball, was talking about, I missed this, but he was talking about how Cauley-Stein, every time he set a pick, he would flare to the 3-point line.
Yep.
Instead of, you know, really do, you know, a hard roll.
And he's good at rolling hard to the rim.
I know.
So one place he's good.
If you could just access that player and that the consistent player who does what he's actually good at, you know, we would be talking about a different story. And consistently we see that not happening. So, you know, Kirk's theory was that that Phoenix literally just didn't know what to do because a player was not doing what you would expect a player to do, you know, who is a player like Cauley-Stein. So,
well, that's a lot of Willie Cauley-Stein conversation. Right. But right. The so, other big so, that I – oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, that's about it. I mean, I think he deserves some more chances to, you know, try to do something, especially if Powell is not effective, because we know that he is a very effective rim runner. And if Powell can't be that or isn't that right now, then I do think it matters. Like in certain matchups and certain opportunities and certain games, it does matter that you know, give Cauley-Stein a chance to do that. And sometimes it's going to work because he's playing great, and sometimes it's going to work just in despite of itself. And sometimes it won't work and you keep a short hook. And I don't think that any of this means that he should be starting every game, you know, until Porzingis gets back, because I don't see that being effective.
Yeah. I thought Maxey, while there were clearly issues on the defensive side, I liked how aggressive he was offensively. He took 7 threes in this game, which is something we talked about last week. Shooting 37% on 4 attempts a game does not make you a shooter. Shooting 37% on 7 attempts a game, now all of a sudden, teams have to guard you. And he only did that 11 times last year, 7 or more threes in a game. He needs to be at like 7 or 8 a game. That is like the goal. And this is per 36 is what I'm aiming for here. And if he can put up 7 threes a game, I mean, he's going to be playing big minutes. Last night he wound up 27 minutes. I wouldn't be shocked if he's at 30 minutes soon, because they just need him to space the floor. I thought that overall he was pretty decent aside from the defensive stuff.
Yeah. What do you mean defensive stuff?
I just thought he looked a little slow. Ayton, you know, Ayton is not aggressive at all, and they did get him into foul trouble, but when he was out there on Ayton, he looked overmatched.
Yeah, Ayton is a matchup that I care about.
Nobody can really guard Ayton in space. Right.
Yeah, Ayton, what I care about is how switchy, you know, I thought he had one or two good perimeter possessions. I still see sometimes that he gets beat by driving ball handlers that, you know, 2 years ago, I swear, like, it would never happen. And I just see it happen a little bit more these times. He also, he did have a chase down block on Jalen Smith that was called a foul, and it was not. That was clean. So how do you, know, can't give a rookie that call. That was clean. but yeah, you know, like, overall, like, he's still, you know, a favorite player of mine to analyze just because of how weird his skill set is. And yeah, I'm curious to keep an eye on him and just kind of see, you know, how effective he is. Another situation where that minus 19 on his box score looks big. I don't chalk it up to anything, but it looks big.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't necessarily his fault.
Right.
Yeah, but he was on the court for it.
Would you start him against the Lakers just to guard Anthony Davis?
I mean, I would at least think about it. Yeah. But the bigger thing being space in the floor, yeah. Right? Like just drag it, trying to drag those Laker defenders away from the paint, man. Like they're just so good at protecting the basket. And now you've got Josh Richardson who is going to try to take advantage of those driving lanes off the catch. And so, I mean, I just think Maxey probably puts you in a better position for that. Especially if Dwight Powell just isn't ready to match up with Anthony Davis. I mean, who's going to guard Marc Gasol? Not that it really matters. Like, I don't know that Gasol is going to kill you, but you got to make a decision there. You almost want to say, put Luka on Marc Gasol.
Yeah, I was going to say, put like Tim Hardaway, but I think Luka's actually probably the right answer. Like,
yeah.
Gasol, he's got some clever, you know, old man post moves, but that is not a... Such an offensive staple. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not really, like, he's big, but man, like, Luka is pretty big.
Yeah.
And I think that he could guard him effectively. And you know, I don't even know how much Gasol is going to play, to be honest with you, but at least you can not hide Luka, but get, you know, you're sneaking him some rest by having him guard Mark, because it's not like Gasol is going to be running off of screens or anything like that.
Right. You know, Gasol's function, and you know what he's good at is the passing, and you know his offensive function is by far his passing and his spacing at this point. And who guards him is not really going to affect either of those directly.
Yeah,
and well, so that's why you can get away with Luka.
Let's just talk about the game a little bit. What are your expectations? I didn't think the Lakers looked super sharp the other night, but I don't know how hard they're trying, so it's really hard for me to gauge this.
I think every Maverick will wake up with a present from Santa.
Okay.
Is that not the expectations that we're looking for here?
I mean, it is one game early on in the season.
I'm rooting for them. Christmas Day, you know.
Listen, if they could beat LeBron and the Lakers on Christmas Day, that's a really big deal at large, right? Like, doesn't really matter too much on the season, although I do think they need every single win they can get while Porzingis is out, just to, you know, make sure they're treading water in the playoff race. So this would be a big win for them. If the Lakers lose, all of a sudden the hot takes will be out.
Yeah. I think it's a bigger game for the Lakers than the Mavericks in that sense. Although honestly, it doesn't really. I feel almost. You know, I think it's more likely at not at this point that the Mavericks start 0-3 with the Clippers coming up after the Lakers. And I wouldn't care, you know, as long as they look fine, as long as they look okay doing it, as long as you see the right signs, you know, that's always what this is about. I don't expect them with Luka working into shape. So they have like three quarters of their two superstars available with Luka working into shape and Kristaps out. I just don't expect them to be, you know, killers right off the bat. And I don't think it's necessary for them to do that. Certainly would have a lot more optimism or would feel, you know, it would be very optimistic for them to win or it would feel good. You know, it would be a feel good situation if they found a way to win one of the next two, especially over the Clippers, you know, just the little playoff redux, if you will. Yeah, that would be great. And depending on how they do it, if it's a, you know, Josh Richardson coming into a 30-point game or something, that would make you feel even better about this team going forwards. But if it's not that, it's hard for me unless there are really troubling signs that pop up from two losses, which I don't anticipate. You know, I just expect, you know, I think the most likely outcome is just two, you know, an 8-point loss and a 12-point loss or something like that, where, you know, they hang it in all game, but they just don't quite have that, you know, that extra 8 points that, you know, a fully healthy, you know, fully ready to go Luka and, you know, would push them over the edge or a Kristaps or whatever. You know, maybe they get like a Trey Burke game like that. That's the type of thing they need, I think, to push them. And that's possible. Like maybe they just, like, we've seen it. You know, we've seen what he does. Like, that's the type of player that they need to just kind of go off and kind of push them up, because these are two really tough teams, and they're going to win games even with their roster as is, even before, you know, even when Kristaps isn't back yet, as long as they're playing teams that aren't, you know, the LA teams. So,
yeah, look, the Mavericks are a good team, and I think that they're going to be totally fine. But this first month, you know, let's all just temper expectations, I would say.
Yeah, if they go 500 over the first 15, that's fine, right?
That's great, honestly. That's great.
Right. They've got the Hornets, the Heat, the Bulls, the Rockets, the Nuggets, the Magic. Yeah, they'll win. They'll take it, you know, probably four of those six.
I think by mid January, if they're 500, they're probably pretty happy. They got a tough schedule out of the gate. I mean, between now and January 15th, like you mentioned, they just played Phoenix. They got the two LA teams. They got Miami. They got Denver. They've got New Orleans, and they've got Milwaukee. That's rough, man.
Yeah, that does pick up as I kind of keep scrolling down. But you know, they're going to be the Bulls. They're going to be Hornets. Isn't Hayward out? Isn't that?
No, Hayward's playing. He's playing.
Oh, he is playing. Okay, cool.
Yeah. He's just injured.
I can't remember.
Broke his pinky, I think.
Oh, so it's not like a can't play injury. It's a
no. He can play through
it. Tape your hand up.
Yeah.
So broke his left hand, huh? It's a great podcasting. We can get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
it's a one.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, early afternoon Christmas Eve quality. Yeah.
We'll
nobody's gonna listen to the sober. So like good.
That's the hope. That is the hope. Like, drink plenty of eggnog tonight. Listen to this podcast. Watch the game tomorrow. Have fun with it. Everybody enjoy. You know, your hopefully safe holidays.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, we'll see y'all then. Thanks for listening.
Oh my God! Oh! Oh, shut it!